Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Hey everybody, in this episode of the Riverdale After Show, we're breaking down season 3, episode 17, chapter 52, The Master. Edgar Evan Everett has opened the doors to the farm. Check it out, see what's going on inside. Cheryl Blossom gets sucked in, and we're going to talk about baby teeth. When they're handing out cool nicknames at the prison. Oh man, he came in last. We're going to break it all down next.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Whoa! Welcome everybody to the Riverdale After Show, breaking down every episode of Riverdale airing Wednesday nights on the CW. I'm Frank Moran.
Hey there, I'm Elena Jordan.
I'm Zach Peter. Hi.
And our lovely and talented Sam Davidson is on assignment this evening, cannot join us. But rest assured, she will be watching this episode of Riverdale once she gets home with a nice glass of Merlot, Chardonnay,
Pinot
Grigio.
Yes, to read all your fantastic comments in the chat. And speaking of that, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, give it a thumbs up while you're there. And of course, the chat is up and running, so start sharing your thoughts right there. Give Sam something to read later on this evening. Yeah.
She's got time.
That's right. Let her sink into that chat. But before we break down the episode in detail, Zach, I'll start with you. What did you think overall?
I thought it was a good episode. I like that we got to see Mr. Ever Never. I like that Betty was able to like break in. I was sad to see Cheryl like get sucked into the cult. But I mean, now I want to meet Jason.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's single.
Jason? I mean, Polly is... not
and Polly
really
might be all up on that, yeah.
They do have 2 kids that we never see.
That's true.
They fell into a pit of fire.
But then lifted
and
up.
And we never saw them again.
That's true. Elena, how about you?
I really liked this episode. I mean, I personally really, really liked the musical episode last week. Mm. So it's difficult for me to kind of come off of that one. I know you guys didn't like that one as much as I did, but I loved it. Seeing Chad Michael Murray was awesome. He did a really good job as Creepy McCreeperson.
That's right. That was his first go. That was right on his first name. Creepy McCreeperson. Is that two
Creepy
on the nose?
Creepy McCreeperson. Edgar Evernever. Right. Pretty close. I liked it. What do you think, Frank?
It was better than last week's, for sure.
Better than last week's, for sure.
Absolutely.
I'm just going to sing at you this whole episode.
Oh, I love it. All right. I am excited. Please answer all your answers in song.
Okay.
Yes. All right. So we're going to break down the episode. We'll also do some news and gossip, as well as give our class president and class clown later on this episode.
Class downward dog.
Yes, but let's start off with the gentleman that Elena was mentioning, Edgar Evernever. We've been hearing about him all season long. We saw him briefly at the end of last episode with that slow clap, and I will be honest, I was almost hoping that the episode would pick up right where they left off, and he's still just slow clapping.
And he's still just clapping.
And everybody's like,
geez. And that's this entire episode for 45 minutes.
It would have been great. They're like, oh my gosh, we're still doing this?
That actually would have been genius. That would have been a piece of like performance art that would have been unparalleled on TV. Like everyone would have been like, do you remember that episode of Riverdale where it was just like somebody clapping for like 45 minutes?
I love it. So we get to see a little bit more of him. What did the two of you think after we've heard so much about him this season? Did he kind of live up to the hype that you'd heard about him?
Yeah, he was hot.
There you go.
I don't know. I didn't expect him to be like, he was also like, I know you said he's Creeper McCreepiston, but I thought he was pretty charming and endearing, and he seemed to like really kind of hypnotize the girls, and I think that's part of his charm and like how he has made this cult so successful, because you don't expect like a hot Instagram model to be running this thing.
That's kind of how like a lot of the cults work, right? A charming like,
I mean, I haven't been part of a cult, but I trust your judgment.
I mean, I don't know from experience. I'm just saying, like, in the past there have been cults that have been started.
With hot
like all
guys,
the Manson worshippers and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still a creepy McCreeperson, but...
He's still creepy.
We'll do some homework. We've got 3 weeks until the next episode of Riverdale. So in that time, let's all join different cults. And we'll compare notes when we
do some actual homework.
Yes, we'll get back here.
Like these
on
high schoolers are not doing as they're raiding buildings and infiltrating cults.
I mean, I feel like in terms of the farm, I feel like pretty much as a viewer, we're kind of siding with Betty because it does seem creepy what's going on. But other than seeing floating babies, people like signing over everything their worldly possessions to the farm, we haven't seen the turn yet about exactly what the creepiness is going on with the farm yet.
I mean, drowning people.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's your rebirth.
The farm, like, survivor who escaped, the escapee who we never saw again, who was left in the bunker alone.
It has to be drugs. Like, they have to be, so I think my theory is that what Edgar Evernever is doing is he is getting them to, like, reach this deep psyche of, like, being in pain and, like, losing somebody. And once he has you tapped into, like, that mental headspace, then he drugs you so that you're really thinking and believing, like, kind of like with the gargoyles. And when they had them, you know, looking at the statue and believing that it was a real thing, then this is how he's getting them to think that they're actually falling, you know, meeting their loved ones or seeing the ones that have passed. Because he's no psychic. He's no Tyler Henry medium. He's not, you know, Long Island medium. He's Edgar Evernever.
Well, I feel bad for the brain chemistry of all of the people in this town, man.
That's true. I mean, they do take mushrooms. So I remember, I mean, Evelyn was giving them all, you know, mushroom-laced brownies last episode. So you're right. Could be a lot of chemical abuse.
They're on mushrooms,
seizure water and fizzle rocks and mushroom
toast. Brain cells to be done.
But I will just chime in for Sam that if she were here, she would be all about, like, this is magic and this is crossing over Sabrina. She would be all in on this.
That theory,
absolutely. Seeing where we've introduced Edgar now, we've got 5 episodes left for the season, seems like. So is it too late to introduce Edgar? Would you have rather have seen him a few more episodes earlier this season?
No, I think they're going to milk him into next season.
You think? Oh, nice.
I mean, we've had the gargoyles that have been here long, and Hal's still had his moment this season, you know, in his Hannibal Lecter scene.
Maybe.
I think they're going to milk him for as long as... If not Chad Michael Murray, because I don't know if they have a budget to keep him that long, but they're going to milk this farm thing for a minute.
Oh,
I mean, farms are all about milking.
That's true.
Milk that cow.
But, all right, so milking it aside, stretching out to this fourth season, would you want to see it go to a fourth season, or do you feel like we've heard so much about this farm already? Enough's enough.
I want to dive into it. I want these 5 episodes to just give me all the meat and, like, let me know what the farm is about. Let me know, like, what they're doing to people. Is it drugs? Like, how are they getting them to meet their dead relatives or loved ones? And how is Betty going to take them down? But I feel like that's a very ambitious goal to squeeze into 5 episodes.
I would agree. I mean, it was interesting this episode to see him talk to Cheryl, who goes in undercover for Betty to find out a lot of the dirt inside the farm. We see kind of Edgar's first conversation, how he can kind of, like, suck somebody in with his charisma and his charm and kind of, you know, spotting weaknesses and kind of chipping away at your emotional armor there. We've also seen Kevin a few episodes ago already succumb to the viewpoint of the farm. Would you have wanted to see a scene between Edgar and Kevin, or just seeing one with Cheryl is enough and it's like, all right, we can assume what happened with Kevin was very similar to this?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we don't need to see Kevin at this point because it's like he's all in at the farm. Yeah. So it's like if we saw any of him talking to Edgar, I feel like it would just annoy us even more.
Because we all know he's so emotionally fragile and, like, taking advantage of him is not hard to do.
Yeah. And, like, I mean, they would have had to show it way earlier to, like, you know, show him getting sucked in. So I feel like the way that they worked it with just showing Cheryl's makes sense.
Does this suffer from a lack of Tony this episode to really serve as a counterpoint to Cheryl? What are you doing?
No, I was happy not to see Tony this episode.
Oh, really? Okay.
I like Tony, but I felt like, it wasn't necessary this episode since the whole thing, like the trick was like, I broke up with Tony. Like, comfort me, Evelyn.
That's true. Yeah.
Like, if Tony's like, hey, what's up? Like, that kind of throws a wrench in it.
Yeah.
How do you think Tony's going to react to Cheryl being all in on this farm?
I mean, I saw the Next Week On where they're just making out, so apparently not too bad.
There you go.
I mean, the farm might teach Cher a thing or two and hook Tony as well.
No, that could be true, too. We do find out that Edgar has some sort of closet that you can go inside and see a departed loved one.
Very Harry Potter-esque.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like, go into this room of requirement. There's a mirror there. It will show you your dead loved ones.
I mean, because it doesn't seem like Cheryl took anything, and she goes pretty quickly from into that closet, and then the signal cuts out on the wire she's wearing for Betty.
Yeah.
Which also, yeah, makes me wonder if it's, like, some sort of, like, technical thing, like something that would have fried, like, the electricity. Like, you know how, like, in superhero shows and things, there's, like, oh, well, you walked in, and now, like, the frequencies of this crazy machine that transfers like from different dimensions, so like now we're seeing the dead.
Like a parking lot.
Like a parking lot?
Yeah, that kills, like, your reception.
You see a parking lot, and then there's a parking lot in here? Oh, boy.
They're just going down into a Batcave parking lot.
And then everyone's just pissed because they're like, I couldn't find parking. Why would you put this here?
Why are all these farmies in here?
Hearing the short test that the farm gives you, Evelyn gives it both to Cheryl and to Betty. It seems like it's just two questions. Do you bite your nails? And are you a stressed? Cold person? Yeah, oh. Stressed and are you a cold person? So I guess it's three.
Well, she doesn't even ask Cheryl, though, if she's a cold person.
Nope, yeah, doesn't
she
even get
asked
there.
If she was stressed and bites her nails. I wonder what that has to do with it. Like, that has to be a thing. Like, a symptom of something, and then they know, oh, you're, like, mentally vulnerable. Let me nip at this.
I guess because, I know they have the Scientology Center, or they're, like, on Hollywood Boulevard, where you can go and you can take one of the tests there if you want.
Yeah.
I've never done it, but I've always been just curious to see what that test would be like.
Do
where
it.
They ask you, oh, thanks, Dad. All right. See you guys. I'm going to go over and do that. That's going to be my goal for the
maybe
next 3 weeks.
Maybe you get to meet Edgar Evernever.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. But I'd be curious to see what kind of questions are asked of that to where they will extrapolate your whole identity based on just something as simple as, do you bite your nails?
I mean, I feel like that's kind of, like, a nod to that, like, that's kind of the current mentality is, like, these interview things that they do are, like, not, they don't really seem to have logical, scientific backings to them.
Well, they have enough to kill radio frequencies.
I mean, I guess part of it works because the majority of the people who would go there to an open house for that are already kind of, like, looking for something that's missing in their life, whatever right. It is. So anything you could say to them in response to that, oh, do you bite your nails? Do you know? Yes, no. They could find some way to kind of hook you sort of to like, oh, yeah, you're right. I am like this. Oh, well, then here, take some classes with us.
Yeah, they prey on like emotionally vulnerable people. And like they obviously there's something with biting your nails. And I think there might be more questions to it that they kind of are asking in ways that aren't so blunt that helps them figure out how they can kind of break you.
And it's all about recording their testimonials. Everybody wants to just have all that stuff. I mean, it's like hearing those secrets that they can use later on.
Yeah, I think they get you into a safe space where you think like, okay, I can really trust this person. I can really open up. I can feel vulnerable and just kind of bare my soul. And they convince you that this is like a good thing. Maybe it's cathartic. I don't know how they do it, but they make you feel safe enough to share, and then they use that as leverage against you. But by that point, you're so brainwashed that you don't even realize that that's leverage.
It's when you try to leave. If you try to leave the cult, then they say, oh, well, we have all of these tapes. We have all of these things. Like, what will you do? We'll ruin you.
Yeah.
We'll release these. And so now your only option is to stay. It's this whole, like, psychologically manipulative thing.
Yeah, unless you meet Betty Cooper in, like, a cave underground.
That's true. I mean, I feel like for Alice, that's going to become a sticking point because Evelyn and Kevin already kind of teased Betty with it about the body that they buried, about, you know, the black good with Chick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they'd have over Polly, though, because other than trying to run off with Jason and having the twins, there really isn't anything, as far as we know, that Polly's done that is so horrible.
She's just weird.
True.
She's just a weirdo, but you can't really be arrested for just being a big old weirdo.
She probably did like some shady stuff with Jason.
Potentially.
Maybe. I mean, props to Betty to quickly realizing, though, if this closet can let you talk to a loved one that is passed on, realizing who could clearly be Alice would want to be talking to in that closet.
Mm-hmm. Charles.
Good old Charles.
Which also, what a friggin' like bitch slap to her daughter to be like, you have no idea what it's like being with them is indescribable. It's amazing. And it's like, yeah, that's great. You're hanging out with your dead son. I'm your living daughter, though. Like,
yeah,
you're neglecting and ignoring.
You can't describe, like, it's not like anything you've ever experienced before. Maybe like hanging out with me or your other daughter or your grandkids.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool, mom. Thanks.
Yeah. Leave it to Alice.
Sold our house for this.
Before we jump on to our next topic, though, you know, the Riverdale Review has sent over a special message just for Zach to inform us about.
Yes. And they want all of our after buzzers out there. This is not a cult, but I promise you, it's just as promising. Guys,
I don't know if that's like what...
You guys, we just wanted to say thank you for helping us be the ESPN of TV Talk. So be sure that you subscribe to this YouTube channel so that you can keep up with Frank and you can keep up with me and you can keep up with Sam when she's back here. And Alana, you love us and we love you. So be sure to hit that subscribe button and be sure to weigh in on the comments below so you can engage with us. Like Frank said, Sam's going to be drinking her Pinot and reading your comments and probably responding to some of them once she gets tipsy enough. So be sure to leave us a comment and we might join in the conversation too because we appreciate you. And if you're listening to this on iTunes, hi iTunes listeners, if you hear me, this is Zach Peter talking to you. Please give us a good review. Please give us a good rating. 5 stars. I'm holding up 10 hands, but I mean 5 stars.
You're holding up 10 hands?
Oh, I'm holding up 10 fingers. It's the radio frequencies in here. They've fried my brain. But thank you guys for helping us be the ESPN of TV Talk. Be sure to subscribe. Be sure to comment. We love when you engage, so please keep doing so.
Yeah, otherwise Zach is going to keep finding 4 people and cutting their hands off just to hold them up.
Just to hold all those hands up.
Yikes.
If you're on iTunes, that's really happening right now.
It's really happening. None of the other panelists have hands right now.
I thought you would be like, it's not a cult and it's also not difficult. You can do, but not at all. It's just like, it's not a cult, but it's also great.
Yeah.
Look, all right.
It's called improv, and you just gotta run with it. That's once right. You start it.
Folks, you know, do you chew your nails? Do you feel stressed? Let us know.
Let us know in the comments below.
Let us know in the comments, and we'll tell you some things about your life.
That's right. Exactly.
We'll I have a closet that you'll want to check out.
All right. Zach will leave his address there in the chat as well.
There we go. Just slide into my
DMs.
It's
a parking lot in there.
It's a parking lot in there.
So we, a lot of this episode is the cat and mouse game between Jughead and Gladys. Although Gladys really does nothing other than just relax on the couch and just kind of mess around in the kitchen.
Like most cats.
That's true. Mm. That's true. Yeah.
Jughead's the one running around like an idiot mouse.
Like a mouse.
We get to see a hot tactical training session with the Serpents. With Keller and FP, which trying to take a bunch of high schoolers, you know, and trying to make them into some kind of SWAT team. Like, oh, this is already going to be difficult to pull off.
Nah, you just have to cover up their serpent's patch with a police patch.
Oh, all right.
Then it's easy.
They nailed it. They nailed that breaking into that school right there.
I feel like what was weird about this, though, is they were like, all right, you didn't pass our tactical exam. You're not ready yet. And then they were like, what, to go, like, kick some ass? We can go kick some ass. And so they then go, and the asses are kicked. And then FP is like, hey, stop. I'm like, this isn't what you were supposed to do. And they're like, isn't this what the training was for? Was, like, if it was just to go hang out while you made this arrest that you already knew about, why do you need the kids in the first place?
That's true. You know? Where are all his police officers? Like, why does he have high school kids as, like, his tactical team?
Yeah. That is true. I mean, I have not seen any other officer other than just FP just doing his thing.
And Keller.
Yeah, and Keller.
Keller had, like, 2 seconds this whole episode.
Yeah. Keller also is just like weirdly in an empty gym with all the lights off waiting for strangers to arrive.
Yeah. Ah, you're here now. Perfect. We can begin. I don't know. I feel like at the end when they go to try to storm the gargoyle's lair that is in Mad Dog's grandma's apartment complex, Archie says, hey, we should tell your dad. After FP's already said, like, hey, guys, if you do this without my authorization, I'm gonna throw your asses in jail. Mm-hmm. And so Jughead describes that as Archie's like, bringing my dad in as a nuclear option. I don't understand why it's a nuclear option.
Me either. Like, I was like, this is the point that you go, hey, dad, look at the good work that I did. I found Kurtz. Let's go get him.
Well, you can't because he got away.
Well, yeah, because they were idiots and they mouse.
Yeah.
Rushing in.
I don't know why they just...
Didn't... Like, most mice had no police backing at all.
And they had guns. All of a sudden, we have ghoulies know how to... Or gargoyles know how to use guns.
Gargoyles with guns. That's so alliterative.
Yeah. I mean, and for Jughead, I mean, I feel like that's got to cross a line, though. Because all of a sudden, Gladys... No, for Jughead, because all of a sudden, they go there and Gladys is armed, giving the gargoyles guns.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, and she knows that he's going there. Yeah. So she basically is like, hey, it's cool if you shoot my son.
Yeah, I don't like her. She's not a good mom.
No.
Like, she needs to, like, go back to wherever she came from and leave Jellybean and Jughead to, like, chill with FP in their new house that she bought.
I'm curious about Jellybean, though, because initially when they first showed up in Riverdale... Gladys is like, oh yeah, Jellybean's gonna have her dad wrapped around her finger, and Jellybean seemed like she was kind of in on this.
Yeah.
But then this episode, Gladys says, you know, Jellybean's not part of this at all. So I don't know if that's actually the truth or what.
Yeah, it's like it's hard to figure out where Jellybean fits in this.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, because we also haven't seen a lot of her doing anything otherwise.
She drinks coffee.
Drinks coffee and she watches says TV. Snarky comments.
Yeah. She's just, I don't understand why she's even a part of this family. They need to send her to the farm because she was born.
Well, I mean, when they set up that, she's going to have FP wrapped around her little finger. I've not really seen.
She doesn't.
Yeah, I thought it was like, oh, okay, this is part of the tactic. Like, this is a tactical thing. And it was just like, nah, I'm cool, Dad. And it's like, oh good, yeah. I guess. Yeah. Great.
I mean, they watched Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah, I did like that shout out. Like, I was like, oh, like Archie.
There you go.
Look at you guys shouting out to yourselves in the past.
So I feel like Jughead was just a big idiot this episode.
Yeah, he was.
This episode?
Mouse.
Maybe he's been smarter.
He's been smarter. He just has a tendency of going rogue and then getting himself caught up in these different messes. I think he needs to let FP know. What is the whole, like, why are we keeping FP out of this? Like, FP can actually help you out and take down this monster. Like, she's smart because Gladys is like, no, we're not going to get FP involved. Not because she really loves him and wants to protect him, but probably because she knows if he gets involved, he'll shut her down.
Mm-hmm. I would think so. And I feel like FP has his act together enough now that finding out that Gladys is one behind all this isn't going to knock him off and send him spiraling down.
Yeah, I think he's just like, oh, well, then let's get her out of here, you know, type deal. Because he also has all these other ladies lined up.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, Al, and it's like, I'll take a time out from being crazy to come tell you how much I care.
Yeah, and I just think...
Spot on Alice, by the way.
Yeah, that was spot on Alice. Nailed that Alice impression.
Because I feel like that's got to be a tactic by Gladys. I think Gladys is just playing on Jughead's worst fears that his dad would spiral down again. But I don't think he really would.
Yeah.
No, he's strong. I mean, come on, he's running the force now. I don't know how many people are on the force, but he's doing it.
Well, a whole bunch of high schoolers are, so he's doing something right.
I mean, and we've seen
free labor. Yeah, oh no, he's paying them.
Oh no, yeah, they're getting college credit, right? Or whatever. Yeah.
Are they?
They're getting some sort of credit that they can use towards
and pay. College.
Yeah. Because I mean, I feel like I've not really seen any kind of scenes, or not just me, because it's only for me. I'm only watching the reveal. You guys aren't, but we haven't seen any scenes of FP and Gladys kissing or being kind of intimate with each other. To feel like that relationship is really kind of locked in and solid.
Just them kind of like touching each other's face in that one scene where Jughead awkwardly is watching from like across the room, like just staring at his parents while he's like, here's some narration. Some soft music in the background while I make faces at my parents as they gently caress each other's face.
This isn't weird at all.
Yeah. I feel like it at this point, it's like, dude, you should just be like, hey, I know where Kurtz is. Go get him. Also, mom sucks.
Yeah.
And FP would be like, okay, good to know.
Yeah, I think FP would have like a no tolerance deal and he would be done with Gladys. Like they would shut that down and he would kick her out of town and keep Jellybean.
Yeah, that's what I think too.
I am surprised that we've been holding on to the secret. Usually Riverdale doesn't take that long to reveal a secret.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they're holding out on this one.
I don't know. It doesn't help, though, that, like, Megan's stupid decisions. Jughead's, like, banging his girlfriend, and they're like, Pillow Talk is talking about our bad decisions. Yeah. You make bad decisions, so do I. Ha, 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 let's bang.
Like, hey, that's true.
It's hot. They're like, yeah, you're bad, I'm bad, we can be bad together.
But they both think that they're doing something smart, and like neither one of them is like, nah, this is probably really stupid. We should probably put some clothes on and think about our actions before we take them.
Yeah, because then your brain chemistry is like all messed up because it's all full of like
fizzle rocks and
fizzle rocks
and seizure water. No.
Well, we see Archie gets a phone call from his former cellmate, Mad Dog, saying, hey. Hey, man, they're going to transfer us to, they're closing L&L. They're sending us over to Hiram's private prison. And the guards that have been doing the Fight Club are going there, too, which means Fight Club 2.0 is starting. And this was so easy for Archie to get them out. I thought it was going to be a little bit more of a challenge.
Yeah, I thought there was going to be some resistance. I thought Hiram was going to get involved.
Literally the whole time that they were saying this, like, all of us were like, not going to work. Not going to happen. Too easy. Let's see what really goes down. And he was just like, the same as Reggie, being like, I'll go get all this stuff out of the prison. I'll go get all of the cooking supplies and just burn them right outside.
Oh,
we're like,
Reggie.
Not going to happen. We're like, oh, yeah, it happened.
He's still around. He's still around. It's okay.
See him, though.
Do you think he's just...
Well, we didn't see Tony either, or Josie. We'll see them all. They're all here.
Don't bring up Josie. How dare you?
Wow.
Man.
Jeez. I do miss Valerie all the time, though. Valerie was dope.
Do you think she's still in Riverdale and we just never see her? Or do you think she left after they did the quarantine and she's never come back?
I don't know.
That's a good question. Maybe she's in the closet.
Yeah,
that's who Archie when he goes over there's like, Valerie. Oh
hey, and she's like, yeah, I'm not dead. You just wrote me out. So cool, thanks. but
so we come back from a commercial break, and after Archie's like, you're never gonna go to that set foot in Hiram's private prison. I'm like, okay, this is gonna be the whole arc for Archie's story for this entire episode is getting them free, and then we just get to Pops and they're already out. Like, hey man, that was great. I'm like, what? Oh, all right.
Well, it was because they go to Willoughby, like they go to the, like...
Oh, the governor.
Yeah.
Governor Dooley.
Dooley, not Willoughby.
But he's able to get threatened by two high school kids, like, that used to bang. Like, that's just, like, that was too easy. Archie doesn't win that easy. Veronica does, though.
She, like, raises that one perfectly arched eyebrow and is like...
And I don't know the need to identify him as, this is my ex-boyfriend, Archie Andrews.
Yeah.
Can I just say my friend, Archie Andrews? It has
this
to be
is
my
Archie,
ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
He doesn't even need an adjective. He's just Archie Andrews. Yeah, yes.
This is somebody who doesn't want prisoners to be exploited. Not like, let me tell you about our back history.
Right.
We were dating for a while, but then I started dating his buddy Reggie because he was busy being attacked by a bear, and it was this whole thing.
Archie, show him your scar. Show him your scar, Archie. Show him.
All right.
And Julie's like, I thought I was talking to your dad. Like, what is it? Yeah.
Yeah. So, very easy to get him out, but we do find out, though, that, they're trying to figure out what to do. Baby Teeth, it's still a terrible name.
What's Dooley?
And Mad Dog trying to figure out what their next steps are. And Archie says, come to my boxing gym, man. Let's just start boxing for a little bit and see where life takes us. And then we see Elio come back.
Let me save you from this prison that was forcing you to box and just put you in this cage.
Yes.
Yeah. Enjoy this boxing gym. It has its own Mr. Keller that hangs out in the shadows and awaits your return.
If you guys have an itch to fight, here's a ring.
Yeah. And I mean, you figure once you see Elio step in there, you know it's only a matter of time before one of them accepts that offer.
Yeah. And poor Mad Dog is just like, nope, got to get grandma and brother out of sketchy apartment. I mean, if Elio offered me a house, too, to box, and I loved boxing, and it was like, box for free in my friend's crappy gym while my grandma stays in, like, a weird masked, like, gang drug lord apartment, or have a nice house... I'd be like, all right, man, I'm going to go take this nice house. We'll see ya. I get that you don't like this guy, but, like, I like having a house, so...
And money, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what I liked about it is that Mad Dog, even as he's saying that he took that, he realizes that out of all his options, this is the least sucky one. He knows it's not the greatest, but what else is he going to do?
And he tells Archie, like, you know, I'm loyal to you. Like, I'm not going to forget, like, I'm not giving up on you. I'm not choosing somebody else over you. I just am choosing a shelter.
Yeah, don't want my grandma to get shot by these gargoyles with guns that are cooking drugs next
door. Gargoyles.
I will call it right now. Mad Dog and Archie will fight by the end of the season.
Definitely.
Yeah.
They set this up too much.
Over what? Oh, I mean,
they'll be forced to.
Yeah.
Oh, like in the boxing ring.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm.
Not like a verbal altercation.
I was like, what are they getting? Veronica? Like, what?
No.
What do you guys think they're going
to
argue about?
Elio's going to be like, fight him to the death.
Yeah. Finish him.
Yeah.
That's right. There you go. And we'll see Archie sweep the leg. And there you go.
Take him out.
That's right. Takes him out. before that, at least we get to see Mad Dog and go into town, go to action there in the apartment complex.
Yeah.
I did like that sequence where it started off on the third floor and then kind of tilted
it
up. It
looks cool. The shots this episode were really, like, the cinematography was great this episode.
Yeah.
Like, that fight sequence looked really cool. But I was also like, wait a minute, you're sending two dudes to just go, like, walk around to find one dude where you're like, I'll take all five of these guys by myself. Don't worry about it. I was like, Mad Dog, you're such a badass. I would never do that.
And he's never even had to fight a bear.
No.
This might be...
How is Archie Red and not Mad Bear if he's Mad Dog? I'm sorry, anyway.
I think Mad Dog could have beaten that bear.
You think so?
Yeah, whoa. Mad Dog, man, he's just a beast.
That's next season.
That's next season.
That's right.
The Mad Bear Dog returns. Versus Bear.
Put yourself in baby teeths, because I made this comment at the beginning of the show.
I don't want to put myself in his shoes. Well, it didn't last.
But if you were locked up in L&L and they have to give you your little nickname... They give you baby teeth. That's kind of, I mean, Mad Dog, I mean, that right there is like, all right, this guy's a beast. I don't want to mess with him. But baby teeth, that's just a terrible
baby name. Teeth is a horrible, horrible nickname, especially because it's like, it just makes it sound like, oh, look at this little child.
Yeah.
Like, then the best that you could ever graduate to is Big Teeth. And
big
it's
teeth,
like,
big
not
and
a
that's
good
not even better.
No. Yeah. Like, none of that is good.
Yeah. So we see
Now he's no teeth.
No, yeah.
Oh,
they
now he's toothless.
Wah, wah, wah.
He didn't upgrade, dragon. He downgraded. It got worse.
That I feel bad for Baby Teeth because we hardly got to see him. He seemed excited about, you know, he just wanted to eat hamburgers like this for the rest of his life where it pops.
Yeah, and now he can't eat any burgers because they took his teeth.
Yes.
He can blend them.
Nobody wants to blend their burger.
Nobody wants to, but it's an option.
Would you come on? If we blended a burger here right now, would you drink it, Zach?
No, I don't eat gluten.
Or we blend the burger without
the
bun.
That's the reason.
We do a protein kind of wrap around. We get the lettuce, the beef, the condiments.
No,
you wouldn't do it.
No,
why not?
I want a burger really bad, and this is making me
want
upset.
A burger one more.
No, it's just like I'm thinking of how much I don't want that to happen to the burger that I'm inevitably going to get.
All right, so we want a burger bad right now. All right, Elena, imagine you are definitely going to go. Just pretend this world show ends. You got to go get a burger here. Where is your number one burger stop here in the Los Angeles area?
Well, I'm just going to probably go to Tom's because it's across the street. It's the closest. Otherwise, yeah.
And thank you for disclosing our location. Our
hidden
underground parking lot.
Nobody knows which one I'm talking about. There's a multitude of burger places called Tom's.
We're in Maria Menounos' closet right now.
That's true. I do like the chili fries over there. So I'll say that.
It's very good.
There you go.
And also, poor baby teeth. Can't have any of it.
Because we find out at the end of the episode that he was abducted by the gargoyles on another quest to kill the young wolf cub.
But why him?
He's a wolf cub. Baby teeth. I did like, as they're all putting it together, like everything's like locking into place. Like they show, they pull the teeth. Like, all right, by this point, we all know what's going on. Jughead, baby teeth. Dun, dun, dun. Like,
dun, dun, dun.
Come on, guys. We're all ahead of this. So FP finds him in the forest, all carved up, and he drank some of the that blue juice, whatever it is. And so, yeah, poor baby teeth. He gets it.
It's grape-flavored juice that you put in water bottles.
But, man, like, honestly, baby teeth, your name is still baby teeth. So it's like, that sucks that you're dead, but at least you don't have to go around being called baby teeth anymore.
And here lies baby teeth.
Well, what if he gets up to heaven and they say, you know, we're going to stick with baby teeth. No.
For all of eternity.
No, no. Why?
I don't think heaven is like, we like chicken with people. It's what we do up here in heaven. Isn't it great? He's going to be so upset forever.
I guess, you know, we should probably talk about our class presidents, class clowns, as it's getting ready to wrap up. Class president, class clown, we'll vote on who we thought was the best in the episode, and our class clown, who we thought was the worst this episode. Zach, do you have any nominees?
I think for class president, I'm going to go with, damn it, I just forgot. Because I was thinking of my class clown. Okay, so I'll start with class clown. Class clown, I'm going to go with Cheryl. Because I love Cheryl so much. And to see her, like, fall into this trap of the farm. Like, I'm really hoping that, like, she's just kind of really dedicating to this investigation. And she's, like, just playing the part and, like, has to turn on Betty so that she can really get in with the farm. But I don't think that's the case. So she's going to be my class clown this week. And then class president, I'm going to give it to Hiram. Because he was nice. Like, he showed that he had a heart and he was compassionate. And he decided to save his wife from his daughter who sent her dead fish.
That's true. We never really talked about that storyline. Because I was like, oh, yeah, that storyline did happen. I mean, Veronica does send her mom dead fishes to...
sleep with the fishes. Yeah. She should have put little pajamas on them. Get the message all the way across. There was no Jughead there to spell it out. So,
I mean, I guess it's any child never wants to see their parents get divorced. You always think they're going to be together forever. I guess this is just taken to the worst extreme when you involve mafia elements into a family.
Yeah.
Well, it's also not cool of her mom to be like, we're getting a divorce. We talked about it. It's the best option. And also, what happens to the mafia bosses after their divorces? Is their wives disappear. And it's like, what? Why would you even say that then, Hermione? Like, you're pushing for her to be cool with the divorce.
I wanted to see Hermione. I think all of us have wanted to see Hermione be a badass for the longest time. And it had been teased.
They keep, yeah.
Yeah. And then we see only to Veronica. She's like, well, I've made some moves. And other than shooting the former sheriff... because the plot to kill Hiram failed. I wish we'd seen more moves to really feel like, and if she's made moves, I want to see Hermione be strong and capable, not feel like she's in fear for her life.
I know, they keep like bringing her back, like they give her an inch and then you're like, ooh, we're going to see her really come to life. And then they always like chop her at the knees and like, are like, nope, she's still this doughy woman that needs to be saved by Hiram. It's like, no, show me like the real Hermione that can kill her husband.
Yeah, I want to see her doing some work at that desk, not freaking out over dead fish at the desk.
Yeah. So the option is that...
will we get Callie Rippett back now that they're divorced?
That's true. You never know. We could. We'll see. Veronica's plan, though, is at least for Hiram to acknowledge his mom, his wife, her mom, because just so she's safe from any kind of vendettas against... former adversaries of Hiram's. And he does. But then he also tricks her at the end. Or doesn't trick her, but at the end of the episode brings a Monsignor in and has her marriage annulled.
Mm-hmm.
I was, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I always thought a marriage could be annulled if you hadn't consummated the marriage. This is a marriage that's been going on forever.
Yeah, there's. I thought there was like a statute of limitations of like time for like the annulment. Yeah. It does seem weird that they're like.
So it's at least 17 years, if not more.
Let's pretend like the past 17 years haven't. It's like it never happened at all. I was like, what? I don't.
How do you even like justify that? Or like, what is the argument to say that your marriage wasn't real to annul it? Like,
does he fully reveal everything to the Monsignor and say, hey, given my particular career,
she'd try to kill me?
She'd try to kill me twice.
Or she would be in danger if we actually divorced, if you can annul our marriage.
Probably. That seems like that's probably more likely so that she can like save face and like not. Get shot in the face.
Yeah.
Like, literally save her face.
But I don't understand how this protects her more than the divorce.
Yeah.
Some verbiage is like he was just saying, split. Like, yeah, he's like, well, I guess in mafia terms, it means don't kill my wasn't a wife.
Yeah. Because she was never my wife.
I guess the divorce just sounds harsher.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, I want nothing to do with you. We're divorced.
Well, I don't know. An annulment sounds pretty bad. And it's like it was never real.
Yeah. No, I don't think this is a win at all for them.
Yeah. I don't understand. Like, you're still not with her.
I'm so with Veronica on, like, all of this. Actually, yeah, now I have my class president.
Lay it honestly.
My class president, I think, is going to be Veronica because she was the one who was saying intelligent things this whole time. And... when her mom was freaking out, like, oh, he doesn't want me to be there. And she's like, well, you did try to kill him twice. Like, everything that she says is, like, what you've been thinking. And then she finally explains, like, okay, we all rallied around Dad, and I forgave you, and I lost Archie, and basically all of these things that we've been kind of harping on. Like, why don't they ever touch on this? This episode, she touched on all of it. So, props to Veronica. Even if it didn't work out that well, even if your plan was a little fishy. But my class clown, initially I was going to say Edgar for class president, but look at you, Veronica, swooping in. But my class clown, I think, would have to be Jughead because he's just doing dumb stuff left and right. Like just dummy McDummerson.
Yeah, I can't argue with you there. I feel like I have a tie this week between Gladys and Jughead because she's arming the gargoyles to actually shoot at her son and he's being stupid and not telling FP what the deal is.
Yeah.
And when you're going to put the two of them together and they're both doing stupid stuff, you're like, this is just an idiot stalemate. Why am I even watching this?
Yeah. But I'll say my class president, I was leaning towards FP because he was smart enough not to put the serpents into a real life situation because they couldn't even do a real tactical drill. But you know, I'll take yours, Elena. I'll go with Edgar because the dude's got a magic closet. I don't know what the deal is, but it's a magic closet.
He's charming.
He is, and he's easy on the eyes. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Chad Michael Murray. Look at him go.
Look at him go.
real quick bit of news here before we wrap things up for the episode here. And it is.
Oh, yeah.
We still have the filming of the Katie Keene pilot continuing in New York here. So Lucy Hale and Ashley Murray have been filming out there this past couple weeks here. There's already been a scene where she's being proposed to, and Ashley Murray's out there doing some singing. But right now, they just. There's some pictures on justjared.com where you can see them, Lucy Hale, wrapped up in a coat, drinking some coffee.
Mm.
Check it out, guys.
Who is Lucy Hale playing?
She's playing Katie Keene.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh,
they're very keen on Lucy Hale.
Oh, okay. Well, her last project didn't work out so well.
No, that's true. But I know Zach only cares about the Ashley Murray scenes. So,
okay.
More Josie for Zach, please. Yes. So, folks, before we wrap up, some quick predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, Elena, what do you think?
I mean, I feel like it's going to continue to be this idiot stalemate with Jug and Gladys. And I think it's FP who's finally going to step in and figure it out on his own and be like, all right, dummies.
Do you think FP is just willfully denying that Gladys is involved? Or does he really think that Gladys is here just for altruistic purposes?
I think he genuinely, he thinks something's up, but he doesn't think that it's her who's doing the drug running and everything. Because... Jughead is also not really helping him out in any way. Like, he's kind of, you know, making it easier for his mom, if anything. So, I don't know. I also feel like something's going to happen. I think Tony's going to get Cheryl out of the farm.
Oh, let's hope.
I hope.
Well, that's the second time she's rescued her from that. Well, from that building. Because she was, Cheryl was in the sisters, that same building.
Yeah, that's why also I'm like, Cheryl, why would you want to go back there? Like,
yeah, some negative connotations on this. But it's been remodeled.
Not really.
No. We put up some crown molding. Yes. It's totally like you weren't tortured and abandoned here.
Zach, about yourself.
I don't think Tony's going to save Cheryl. I don't know how Cheryl's going to end up out of this one. Or Kevin. Like, everybody just seems to really be getting sucked in. I think the only way anyone's going to get out of the farm is by Betty taking down the farm. And I think, again, it's like a combination of a deep psychological manipulation combined with, like, some drugs. I think that's what's kind of getting everybody to follow the farm. But I want to know, like, what his motivation behind it is.
Yeah.
Power. Money. What all cult leaders want.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Would it make you enjoy the storyline more? Would it make you enjoy the storyline more if you knew what his motivations were? Or you're like, I'm willing to go along for a few episodes and just enjoy the Chad Michael Murray, and then I'll find out what the deal is.
I'm enjoying Chad Michael Murray right now, but I am getting impatient because we've, like, heard about the farm for a minute now, and I'm like, okay, like, let's give me the deal.
And speaking of that, it is going to be a few minutes before we find out any more about the farm, because we are off for 3 weeks. We'll be back April 17th at our usual time here at 9 p.m. Pacific. So, folks, in the meantime, though, thanks for watching. Thanks for joining the chat. Like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And if you want to get in touch with any of us even after the show's over, Zach, where can they find you?
I'm Zach Peter, and you can find me at Just Plain Zach all over the internet.
I'm Elena Jordan. You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at Elena J. Jordan. And I also host the Doom Patrol after show here.
Ooh, look at that. Of course, send your well wishes on social media to Sam Davidson at SamD43. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie. Folks, we'll be back here April 17th, 3 excruciating long weeks without us being all together. But we'll do it then, and we're going to break down an all new Riverdale episode. I need some time off, guys, to reboot myself. But we'll see you then, April 17th. Take care.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.